Anyway, Eurovision. I did all the Eurovision songs.
Hell yeah.
Caught them up all. Got my list.
Who's your number one right now?
Switzerland.
It's their time?
It's their time, yeah. Is there, by there, I mean it's Nemo, the singer, who is Envy. Finland is...
Silly.
When Finland wins Silly this year. As the one I... It's... They submitted a song called No Rules. And the song is by a person, or an artist, or an individual named Windows 95 Man. And he comes out wearing... And this is the funniest thing to me, is that, like, when you watch it on the channel, it's like, it's Windows... It's like, No Rules... parentheses rules applied version, because you can't show logos in Eurovision. So he's wearing like a Windows 95 hat and shirt, but it's blurred. He's also wearing, he's wearing a t-shirt with Windows 95 and a hat Windows 95. He's wearing no pants.
This must have all been intentional.
It is intentional, but he's no pants and like a sort of flesh color g-string. So like you just see like his full ass body with like a G-string that you almost can't tell is there, and none of that is censored. Just this Windows logo on his hat and shirt.
Welcome to a mini episode of Why Do We Watch This, the podcast where three friends watch a bad or troubled or not great movie, talk about what they liked, what they didn't like, and how they would fix it while drinking a themed cocktail. I am Brendan Drischler, your host.
I'm Chris Revelle, you know, just like a co-host.
Just one of these other guys.
Yeah, just one of the other voices in your ear.
I'm Lee Delahanty.
She's here too.
That's it.
So anyway, as I said, this is a mini episode, the prelude to the next full-length episode we will be doing 2 weeks from now. And the movie we will be doing for that episode is The Portable Door.
Whoa.
And I forgot to look up any info about this
movie. A movie that definitely exists that we all know about that came out last year, shit, let me see.
Because I just looked it up earlier today.
Sure?
Oh, fucking come on. Why is Letterboxd being so...
It is from last year.
Yeah, I know it's from last year. And I'm sure, like... Knowing the director probably won't do anything. Jeffrey Walker is the director.
It's a small movie.
Yes, it is. Jeffrey Walker has not done any other movies that I've ever heard of. But yes, you can view it on Amazon Prime, 2023, directed by Jeffrey Walker, starring Christoph Waltz, Patrick Gibson, Sophie Wilde, Sam Neill, Miranda Otto, and a couple of other people.
So I just realized it is on the Wikipedia, but I had no idea about like one of the bigger twists that's going to happen in this movie. But
yeah.
It says right in the... first paragraph of Wikipedia, like,
yeah.
The Jim Henson Company, and I'm like, oh, that should have tipped me off.
Well, see, I thought that the Jim Henson Company thing was referring to the CGI dragon, because I know Jim Henson does do CGI as well now, so, like, when I saw that, my first thought was, like, oh, this, like, fucking ugly-ass baby dragon is, like, a Jim Henson thing, and then other things happened,
which made
it more obvious. Anyway, so it's based apparently off a YA novel that none of us have heard of prior to this.
I don't even know that it's described as YA.
Is it not YA? I mean, how could it... This is the thing. Okay, so, like, it's about a young, like, guy out of college working as an intern.
Well,
so,
my
like,
understanding is I think the tone is fairly different
in
the books. Like, the books are, like, kind of just absurd comedy. And there's, like, I don't think that there's as much, like... I don't know, like it's less whimsy and more just funny, and less, like, maybe a little less, like, a quote-unquote heart to it, and more just, like, about the jokes, and, like, Paul is particularly, like, just kind of pretty, like, I don't want to use the word insipid, but, like, just kind of, like, sort of stumbling through this, like,
failing
upwards in the company.
More like
maybe
the bumbling
that
straight man.
For me.
Yeah.
I'll have to.
Like the bumbling straight man.
Kind of, yeah. Whereas, like, he's more, like, kind of goofy and kind of lovable in this, or that's what they're definitely going for. Whereas, I think in the book, he's more just like, huh?
I was telling Brendan before, I'm very excited to watch this movie because this doesn't feel like it happens to me very often lately, but I have no knowledge or expectation.
Well, it is an Australian production, which is why there's a lot of Australian actors.
Do we know if it was, like, more of a thing?
What do you mean?
In Australia?
Oh, like, I have no fucking clue.
Was it a hit?
Look, man, that's an island full of convicts. I don't know what they're interested in, and frankly, I don't care.
The way that I find out about movies, any movie, big or small, is that the trailer for it is surfaced on my YouTube front page. And it looked interesting enough for me to watch it. And then sometimes that leads to other trailers.
I see.
So that's how I found out about it.
Nice.
That's why I'm serving it to you guys right now.
Yeah. Lee was the one who found this one. Lee was the first one to watch this, and the dominoes are falling now that Lee has.
And the next
seen
comes
it
the magic flute.
Yes, at some point comes
the
magic flute.
I played you all like the magic flute. I really need somebody else to watch The Vegetable.
I will at some point.
Please, I need someone else to understand.
I mean, look, I have a lot. I spend 2 days a week in the office. I need shit to watch while I'm
yeah.
there. So, yeah.
That's hilarious. Guys, when I'm in the office, I need shit to watch.
Yeah. What do you think I'm supposed to be doing? My fucking job? No, thank you.
Didn't you have a coworker who would do that all the time?
I mean, I've...
What?
Wasn't there a coworker at your guys' job when you both worked there together that would always watch shit?
Well, Sharon would listen to music and sing to
yeah.
herself.
Yeah, that's what yeah. I was thinking
out loud
of.
All the time.
Yeah.
She'll hate it.
But we wouldn't hear. We would just hear her. She would just, like, mumble. Like, it wasn't good singing.
Yeah, no,
was, like,
the first time... Yeah, no, the first time I heard it, I thought it was, like, a vent or something making a noise. Because I just heard this sort of, like...
It sounds like someone's sleep talking.
Yeah, no, it starts off as, like, a mumble, and then, like, I feel like after a while it would crescendo into, like, actual full-blown
yeah.
singing. Anyway. we digress.
Yeah.
So, of course, having... of course, because we are watching The Portable Door, we will need a drink to accompany it. And so I present to you The Potable Door.
Whoa, nice one.
Thank you.
You got me with air.
Yep.
Oh, man.
The Potable Door is 2 ounces of gin, half an ounce of lime
you
juice.
Sneaky little.
1/4 ounce of honey, rhubarb bitters, sparkling water, strawberries, and basil. So I know it sounds like a lot, but it's pretty simple. You're just going to cut up the strawberries and basil leaves into smaller pieces and add it to a cocktail shaker with honey and lime juice. Muddle it until it's combined. Add gin, bitters, and ice to the shaker. Shake it till it's chilled, then strain into a glass and top with sparkling water. This is my attempt to, like, channel spring in the hopes that, like, we'll get actual spring weather soon and not just kind of cold gray rain.
Listen, this is March still. It's,
yeah, I know.
We're dealing with
this is full spring.
Not too much longer.
Yeah, by the time that episode comes out, it will be the end of April. So, God willing, we'll have summoned some spring weather.
I really would just... I know we've had a few scattered sunny days here and there, but it really feels like we've had 2 straight months.
No, we've had, like, barely any.
Of gray.
Yeah, we had, like, 1 or 2 really nice days, and the rest of it has been, like, fucking miserable. So, let's bring it up. Guys, The Potable Door. We're all gonna drink
Woo!
It and hope that it does the trick.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so like I said, that's what we'll be doing in 2 weeks. But for this mini-sode, we are going to do a game that we had kind of alluded to, I think, previously at one point when we were talking about the YouTube comments game. So the other thing we had talked about along that line was doing something similar with Letterboxd reviews. Now, Letterboxd, as you all know, it's a great resource for a lot of, a lot of things like this. One of the things it's also good for, obviously, is seeing what your friends think of movies. And sometimes people do a lot of, like, very intelligent, in-depth reviews. And sometimes it's just a funny little glib throwaway thing. And I think both are good.
I do too. I was going to say, I enjoy the more trollish entries I'll see, and then I enjoy the more serious ones.
Yeah.
One of my absolute favorites was Iowa Debris wrote one. I think it was about something Star Wars. And she just goes, didn't have Baby Yoda, not cute enough.
Yeah, so that's kind of what we're going with for this sort of thing. Basically, we're looking... I went through the list of movies that we have done on Letterboxd. So this is sticking strictly to movies that we have covered on this podcast as main episodes to sort of narrow things down, because otherwise we are just... There's too many options here. So what I'm going to do then is I'll give you an example, first of all, because there was one that I really liked, but I thought we would never get, so I decided to use it as an example. So the way it's going to work is I'm going to say... who wrote the comment, and it's kind of hard because I think on the mobile app you can't really find people's username, it's just what they say their name is, so like they could theoretically change that after the fact, which sucks, but anyway, that's just what I went with here. So I'm going to say like the username, the comment, and then you guys try and guess. So the way this would work, it would be something like Men on Films review says, remember when Brian Wilson went insane trying to follow up pet sounds? So you would listen to that and think, okay, what am I extrapolating from this? I'm extrapolating that this is a follow-up movie to something that was popular, something that did not work well perhaps as a follow-up, something that perhaps drove everyone insane in the attempt to make it. And
right.
The answer to that is Shock Treatment.
Oh!
Yes.
Wow, that is a really apt comparison.
Yes.
I don't know who Brian Wilson is, don't know what Pet Sounds is, so...
Beach Boys.
Beach Boys.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Nothing. Got
so,
nothing.
I've got 25, and I try to put them from easy to hard, so it's going to start off easier.
And to be clear, these are all movies we've done on the podcast?
These are all movies we've done on the podcast, and these are all comments that are pretty high up in Letterboxd. I did some digging for... Look, some of them, like I said, just didn't have that many reviews. Some of them weren't suited for this sort of thing, so I narrowed it down to these 25. So, let's begin.
Woo!
The first one. Zara Gwen says, imagine being the sort of person who doesn't want to fuck Ava Green.
Oh. Oh, oh.
Oh, wait.
When did we do a movie? Oh, is this Dark Shadows?
Was she in Dark Shadows?
Do you remember the hellish Disco Inferno sex scene where they're throwing each other in the walls?
Yeah, but he wanted to fuck her, didn't he?
Yeah, but...
No, he didn't.
He didn't want to fuck her?
No, she is like...
Well, he did, and then afterwards he was like, whoa.
Oh, so it must be Dark Shadows.
It is indeed Dark Shadows, guys. All right.
Was that cool? Am I allowed to just guess like
that? I guess
so.
You tell me. Hey, shit.
Tell me.
I don't know, man. I'm just reading off glib remarks here.
What a fucking crazy-ass movie that was.
It were. Number two. David Sims says... Goldilocks and the Three Nice Boys.
Oh, it was the kitchen one.
Yeah.
Kitchen. Boys in Kitchen.
Can you remember? Yeah. I'll if you can't think of it, I'll just say
it. That old.
Home Again.
Home Again. Home yes, Again. It is. It is Home Again. Good job, guys.
I can't remember the name. They're all the same.
Do you remember how,
Boys in Kitchen.
How there was just like a seemingly endless sideboard table just full of bagels and croissants?
Of course there was. That's the Myers aesthetic,
so
baby.
Many... So, like, way more than any of those.
Right, no. This is a family ostensibly of, like, a mom and two young girls.
Take that to the homeless mom.
I do love the idea that, like, when, like, 11 a.m. hits, Reese is like, gotta dump them out. Just, like, throws them all in the trash. Make sure the baker comes by again tomorrow at 6 a.m. with my new tray of pastries, yeah. Please.
She puts one of the kids to, like, guard it with a weapon. Someone can't come and, like, take a bagel.
Next one. Tanya says, oh, to be a spoonful of peanut butter.
I can't think. Oh, wait. There's a thing with peanut butter.
There is a thing with peanut butter, which is why I thought this one might be something you would remember.
But I forget what it is about peanut butter. Somebody's never had it or something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I can't. Is it because he went back in time or he's from the future?
Oh, fuck.
You're circling the drain.
This is.
Is it Kate and Leopold?
I think so.
No, it's not Kate and Leopold.
It is not Kate and Leopold, I'll tell you that.
Okay.
But there's another one with time, and he's never had peanut butter.
It's not time. You're thinking of time. It's more space. Or dimensions.
Oh,
or
is this, I don't remember this happening.
Or
Earth Girls Are Easy.
Some sort of plane of existence that perhaps...
Radio, I'm looking at the... It's got to be older than these.
I can't remember when we did this.
Oh, I feel embarrassed it's taking us this long, but you
definitely are getting it. You just can't think of it.
I, like, don't know what the movie is still, but I, like, remember a thing with
this is one of the few things about this movie that I absolutely remember.
Meet Joe Black.
It is Meet Joe Black.
It was Meet Joe Black, yep. That's right. He's never had peanut
right,
butter.
Right, because he's deaf, and he's never had peanut butter before. and he spends a third of that movie with just a spoonful of Skippy in his mouth, mumbling.
My absolute favorite thing that we talked about in that movie was, I'm pretty sure we do almost, like, 10 minutes.
About the patois?
Yes,
yeah,
about the patois.
Of course. How
but also just
horrendous.
About how, like, if you're... That old woman's adult daughter.
Right, and she's like, she's
like,
panicking. Right, this old, you're like taking your like ancient mother to the hospital. All of a sudden, this guy comes up and starts speaking to you in like a patois. You'd be like, I'm sorry, can you like back the fuck off?
Yeah.
Like,
you know what they could have done? They could have done a Sandman where like when she sees him, she sees a Jamaican person.
Right,
yeah.
A Caribbean
and then like
person.
You like cut to like an actual Jamaican person saying these things. Yes,
exactly.
And then you cut back to like Brad Pitt.
That's what happens when like in Sandman, he's like an ancient lover who's like from like some sort of ancient African thing. And when she looks at Morpheus,
she's an African
scrawny
prince.
White man.
Yeah.
It's another like black guy.
Uh-huh. Similar to how like when he appears to cats, he appears as a big cat.
As a big cat, yeah.
That would have made a lot more sense. Yeah. Celine's review. That eternal dilemma, marrying a hunk or being able to vote.
Oh, Kate Leopold.
Yeah, that is Kate Leopold. There are, I will say also real quick, there are a few reviews on here where the actual review listed like a character name or an actor name that I replaced with like, in this case, hunk instead of Hugh Jackman. So there are a few of those in here.
I'm glad that you subbed that out because that would
Otherwise, you would get it right away.
Yeah.
Rose's review, he's not like other boys. He doesn't do his homework.
Is it The Art of Getting
It
by?
Is The Art
oh
of Getting
God.
By.
That movie in my mind just so doesn't exist. It's just weird to me someone would even bother to write a Letterboxd review about
he
it.
He doesn't do his homework.
But Mom.
Oh my God. He's playing with the homies.
What's that?
In the Eurovision movie, they have a bunch of honestly brilliant, spot-on parodies of just, like, known Eurovision tropes or known songs.
There's, like, the dedicated rap song entry.
That always comes from some scrawny white guy from a former Soviet bloc country.
It is a person of color singing.
Oh, okay.
But it is, like, a sort of, like, bad European imitation of what American
rap
would be like.
Yeah.
But it's like, tell my mama that I'm not gonna come home.
Ooh. cooling with the homies. Tell her dad I'm not gonna mow the lawn. I'm cooling
with the... Yeah, no, it's tell my dad, tell my papa to mow the lawn on his own. Cooling with the homies. It's just like, this is their version of like...
Oh, bad kids. Bad kid. The troublemaker. Okay. Where else? Oh, Matt Lynch's review. Crucially missing a hot tub.
Crucially missing a hot tub?
Yes.
Crucially missing a hot tub.
So think of the movies that we've done and which one might have had a hot tub.
The Time Machine?
Yes, the Time Machine.
Oh, because it was...
Hot Tub Time Machine,
like the movie.
Yes.
Oh, yes. I see. Yeah. In the movie, I imagine like a character was like...
Why isn't Guy Pearce in a hot tub during this?
No, I thought like it was like a character in the movie like missed it or like almost fell into a hot tub or like, oh, should have had a hot tub.
No, it was unfortunately the movie itself does not have
a
hot tub.
Yeah, the hot tub, yeah. Yeah, that's a miss.
Spooky Lukey Videos review. 2000s emo The Seventh Seal or Carnival of Souls by way of the CW.
Could you say that just one more time?
Yeah, 2000s emo The Seventh Seal or Carnival of Souls by way of the CW.
What is Carnival of Souls?
It is a movie from, I believe, the 60s. It's a horror movie, a low-budget horror movie.
It's not that Seven Sun movie, is it?
It is not, because we never officially
did
it
for the pod.
Yeah.
Okay.
Although that would kind of
fit
that description.
But it's some sort of emo 2000s vibe thing.
Beautiful Creatures?
No, it is not. It is earlier than Beautiful Creatures.
Oh, earlier.
In terms of, well, I don't know in terms of when we did it. In terms of release date, this is a very early, well, as it says, a very early 2000s movie.
I can't think of what it would have been.
Cheap horror, basically? Is that the vibe?
Yes, this is a very cheap-looking movie.
The Haunting?
No. The Haunting is not a cheap look. The Haunting does not look good, but The Haunting looks expensive.
That's fair enough.
It's not Odd Thomas.
No.
That wouldn't be it.
No. We did it later than Odd Thomas. I know that much.
But you have some sort of... It's got some sort of emo-goth vibe happening.
Emo-goth... Vibe, CW, like CW horror, CW...
The Seventh Seal.
Seventh Seal, which I haven't seen.
I don't really know what I've been
playing chess with death.
That one.
Yes.
Okay.
Did we do that one? We didn't, right? Did we do that Riding the Bullet? Did we do that?
It's Riding the Bullet.
Is it Riding the Bullet? Oh my god, I couldn't find it, but I was like, that's the closest I could think of.
It's 2000s emo, The Seventh Seal.
But that's not really 2000s, because it's from the 60s.
But it's like such
an emo. He is an emo kid.
Right, but it also has like the feel of like an early 2000s like low budget.
It really does. Wow. That's one of those movies.
It does start with him trying to kill himself.
Yes. Well, his posters are like, do it.
I forgot.
It was got all these like hallucinations and shit.
Yes.
And he's talking to like his subconscious.
Right. And then like Darth Sidious shows up and is like, kill yourself.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay. Oh, I guess I will. So this is not The Truth About Charlie because that is too recent.
Mm-hmm.
So just getting that out there now. Matt Fisher's review. An indie D-grade charade with a grade A B-list cast.
So it's another sort of comedic thriller, maybe, type thing.
Yeah.
Indie.
Indie.
An indie D-grade charade.
Is it Fagrim?
Fagrim?
It is Fagrim.
It was the indie and the charade part that were both,
And grade A B-list cast is, like, a pretty good way to describe the cast of Fagrim. Like, they're great, but they're not, like, you know, like, top-tier A-list actors.
I would say Parker Posey.
I don't know that she is. I mean, she's not, like, a name that people go to see, you know? Like, you don't... Well, yeah, you
Gays
do homo.
Go to see her.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Let me see if I can pronounce this name correctly. James Schifrillis' review. It should be illegal for a movie about wizards to be this boring.
Oh, wizards.
Oh, it's right in front of my Sorcerer's Apprentice?
No, it is not The Sorcerer's Apprentice.
Because I would disagree with him. That's not a boring movie.
Yes.
Wizards. Beautiful Creatures?
No.
Fuck.
Sword in the Stone?
The Sword in the Stone.
How dare? Honestly, how dare?
It was the only other Wizards thing I could find, really.
Honestly, how dare you?
Honestly, how dare you? I enjoyed that movie.
Yeah.
I agree. Aside from the Wizards duel at the end, it's a bit of a snooze. Lindsay says, the way this movie shifts from normal teen drama comedy to surrealist cinema to Wattpad fanfic is truly remarkable.
Normal teen drama?
Can you just give me the beats one more time?
Normal teen drama comedy to surrealist cinema to Wattpad fanfic.
This sounds like a movie I would have put... Did I put this
one? You did not put this one through. This is going way back, though.
Is it... It's not No Kiss List, is it?
No, it is not. It's, I think it's older than No Kiss List. In terms of like when we did it, I'm pretty sure this was like way back.
I'm so sorry to make you do this again. Just one more time.
Yep. The way this movie shifts from normal teen drama comedy to surrealist cinema to Wattpad fanfic is truly remarkable.
Confessions of a Teenage Drama Queen?
It is Confessions of a Teenage Drama Queen.
Oh my god!
What is the Wattpad fanfic?
Like how she meets Stu Wolf, the singer.
That's right.
And then she's like, I have such a crush on him. And like he actually hangs out with her for a while.
I completely forgot that that's a thing
and
that happened.
Basically because she calls him a drunk, he then
gives I bet you're in rehab now. Like you called me out, kid. Thanks, child I've never met before.
Obviously my favorite moment is everything having to do with that musical, including the giant paper mache
of course,
head of George Bernard Shaw. My other favorite moment is when they, when her and Allison Pill go into that dumb party, and then the way that they've shot it, everyone in the party turns around as soon as the shot starts. So it's as if, like, everyone turns around and then just sort of poses and stares as they, like, come in. It's so
I don't even remember that part. Isabel Bostic's review. The only actors with chemistry were the dads, and they didn't even end up together.
Oh, is it? Is this Midnight Magnolia?
This is
a shadow account.
Holy cow! Yeah, one of us must have written that.
There are guys. I have to tell you, there are a lot of people who commented on Midnight Magnolia who reviewed it that mentioned that like the dads are definitely gay for each other.
I'm so glad we're not alone.
No, we all agree. Dads are gay. Dads are gay now. No. Dads
hey,
are gay now.
Hey, fellas, is it gay to have kids?
Is it gay to be a daddy? Will Menaker's review. Mechanical elves attempt to warn a fake news journalist about America's badly decaying infrastructure.
Okay, could you...
Yeah, one more time. Mechanical elves attempt to warn a fake news journalist about America's badly decaying infrastructure.
Jesus Christ.
Attempt to inform a fake news journalist...
Mechanical elves.
The mechanical elves thing is admittedly a strange
way
reach.
To put it.
Yeah, the rest, the other parts of it make more sense.
Mechanical elves.
Yeah, I would not focus on mechanical elves, and I would focus more on journalism and infrastructure.
I mean, can't be Atlantis.
It is not Atlantis.
Okay.
That's not a fake news journalist. I'm, like, literally going one at a time trying to figure this shit out.
Is Alec Baldwin a fake journalist in The Shadow?
No.
Is that his cover?
He is a billionaire playboy in The Shadow. His cover is, I'm rich.
It's Batman style, right.
Except I'm also bloated from coke. And do no good for the world.
God, I have no idea what you're saying. I'm fucking stumped. I'm at 87. And I'm not getting any closer. I have skipped some, but I can't think of what the fuck it could be.
It is a horror movie.
It's a horror movie?
It's more of a horror movie. A horror thriller. I would say skews definitely more toward horror than thriller.
I mean, white
because
noise?
Of, no. Because of some supernatural nonsense.
We just haven't done that many horrors, which is why it's weird. It's not
good. Right, I mean, no, we usually don't. We usually just do like one or two a year, so it's
and they're usually just like spoopy.
Right.
Not necessarily like... Crimson Peak?
No.
No, that's not about infrastructure.
Nope. If you give up.
I give up.
I'm so sorry.
The Mothman Prophecies.
What?
The bridge, because the bridge at the end, how throughout the movie they're like...
Why mechanical elves?
I don't know. I assume just because they have weird voices or something, maybe.
That's fucking
weird. I didn't
weird.
Get the mechanical
that's
elves.
That's annoying,
why
but...
Why is he a fake news journalist?
I assume just because he works for the Post.
Oh, I don't remember what news thing he worked for.
Wow.
I would never have gotten that. There are too many oblique things that I would not have picked up on.
Not to make light of a real situation, but was I the only one who thought of Mothman Prophecies about the Francis Scott Key Bridge collapse?
I mean, you might have been.
It's the same kind of bridge.
No, I know. I'm just saying you might have been because I feel like most people, by and large, don't remember the Mothman Prophecies.
I understandably that a big part of it is the fact that the boat is fucking huge.
Yeah.
It weighs a lot, but I was like, man, it doesn't take that one pillar out.
I know, it's sort of terrifying
bridge.
In a way, right?
Well, come out with
it.
It
was also just an old fucking bridge that was not properly maintained. Yeah. That's why it's annoying that, like, people are like, it was terrorism. I'm like, it really
conspiracy.
Wasn't.
No, we just don't invest money.
In our infrastructure.
Emma's review. It's always the one you most suspect.
Is this one of the Kenneth Branaghs?
This is one of the Kenneth Branaghs.
Which one is it?
Orient
I'm
going to
say Orient.
It is Death on the Nile.
Oh, because,
Armie Hammer and Crazy Eyes throughout the entire movie, where she's just like shooting Crazy Eyes at everyone, and Armie Hammer's like, "Surely you can trust me, her evil fiance."
Crazy Eyes gets me so fucking bad, because literally every single shot of her is just her
glaring and like darting back and forth. Why did this medieval... Vivian says, why did this medieval lady look like she just stepped off a CW show?
This is the Robin Hood one.
This is Robin Hood. That's what I was thinking of.
Oh, man. With his, like... With his, like...
H&M jacket.
Yes. He's got a Henley.
Costumes by Primark.
I know I say this every single time this movie comes up, but it entertains me to no end.
With bows and arrows.
And then also, like, treating a ballista like it's a fucking mortar.
Yeah. It's like an automatic ballista.
Right.
That's not how they work. That's why,
like a Gatling gun.
Yeah.
It's so crazy.
Who's loading those things in that fast?
That's the movie should be about.
Listen, the Crusades equal Black Hawk Down, okay?
The guys going around the corners like this with those narrows is never going to not be hilarious to me. Yes. Like, that's gonna work for well for you.
You got him, guy.
Oh, so funny.
Karen H. says, love a good no clues murder.
Is this Radioland?
No.
I don't know.
That's a very good candidate.
That's sort of wildly guessing murders, because a lot of them make no sense.
Yes, there are.
Is it...
Watching the Detectives?
Pick? Yeah, I don't know.
It's not Watching the Detectives. Okay. Did Watching the Detectives have a murder in it?
I don't think so.
Okay,
no, it doesn't.
I was going to say.
There's like a weird...
I know there's some weird, like, almost quasi-conspiracy sort of shit there, but not a murder.
I mean, what are the other murder things we've... Dead Again?
No.
I would hope that whatever review we get for that is about scissors. Not vamps.
No.
It's not Willow.
A murder that did not provide you with adequate clues to guess who the killer would be.
I mean, Orient Express.
Yes, it is murder.
Oh, okay. Oh, man. Yeah, it really doesn't.
Nope.
I would say that and Death on the Nile are functionally... They don't really have clues.
I think Death on the Nile telegraphs it so fucking easily, whereas Orient Express is like, who are you guiding me toward at this point? And at the end, it's like, you all did. And I'm like, sure, okay, fine.
Are you at number 16 now?
I don't actually know what number, because I didn't number these is the thing.
Okay.
Kirstie's review, it's not even a nice necklace.
It's not even a nice necklace. It makes a nice sandwich.
There's definitely a necklace.
This is a movie where there is a necklace-related subplot.
You didn't find one for the Law and the Lady, did you?
No, this is not the Law and the Lady.
There is a necklace in there.
Yes, there is. I remember the necklace.
That would have been incredible,
lady.
Though.
I do not think there were that many reviews for the Law and the Lady, and of the reviews, most of them were not, like, glib remarks.
Yeah.
Damn, what involved a necklace?
It is one of many subplots.
Oh, okay. Oh.
Oh, Love Actually.
It is Love Actually, yes.
That being the necklace Alan Rickman gives to his...
Yeah, Satan gets. I don't want something I want.
That was the, like, demonic rival to Mr. Bean's angel.
Yes. Joe's review. I haven't seen this much action on a train since I lost my virginity on the 315 to Utah.
Oh, this is the commuter.
This is not the commuter.
What?
You
would think so.
And this also isn't...
But something else involving a train action sequence.
And this can't be Orient Express.
No, because there's no action.
I quit. I give up. No, I'm just kidding.
What other train movies have we watched?
It is not like a movie that takes place entirely on a train, but trains
feature
prominently in it, I would say.
Bunraku doesn't have a train.
No, it does not have a train.
What else had
a train? Judy is heading in the right direction.
Ah, wait.
Some sort of chintzy action movie.
Is that, the action on a train...
Oh, Lone Ranger?
It is Lone Ranger,
yes. Oh, right. Because that's the whole...
The whole, like, act three action sequence. Yeah.
Yeah.
Post-Kevinism's review. Who let Gen X get away with this?
Okay. So this is a much more recent movie?
It is a more recent movie that would theoretically, perhaps, appeal to the interests of Gen X.
Is this Dash and Lily?
This is not Dash. I cannot imagine.
Why would Dash and Lily
Gen X being interested in Dash and Lily?
No?
Gen X is, like, older than us. Why would they... I mean, like, I'm sure it's fine.
When you
like,
said Gen X, for some reason, I subbed in Z.
No. I'm so not. Sorry. We also didn't technically do Dash and Lily.
Something they would have been into.
Is yes. that watching the detectives?
No.
Okay.
I don't really know. I don't really understand the zeitgeist of Gen X.
So perhaps music-wise.
We didn't do High Fidelity, did we?
We did not do High Fidelity, but...
I would imagine that's...
It's a very Gen X movie.
Yes, it is a Gen X movie.
Is it 13 going on 30?
No, the music would appeal to perhaps, like, older members of Gen X. This is something more that older members of Gen X would probably be more into.
Older members? So it is a more musical... Is it fully a musical, or is it just a movie that features music?
You could say it's fully a musical.
Oh,
you
okay.
You could say that.
I would say that.
Yeah.
And by could, I mean would.
And by would, you mean do.
You mean, is it Rock of Ages?
It is Rock of Ages.
Oh my god. Yeah, I guess so.
This one I liked, but I don't think it's going to be easy to figure out.
Okay.
Abriana's review. Fun fact, this movie was made with a budget of $10 and a gift card to Joanne Fabrics.
And that could be so many
this
of these
was a
movies.
Lee suggestion movie.
That helps.
Is it a Hal Hartley?
No, it is not a Hal Hartley.
Eliminates a handful.
But think of something that's a very...
Joanne Fabrics is the only salient yes, clue, really.
Like a craft store explosion in terms of
it's
aesthetics.
Cheap. And
cheap and craft store looking.
Craft store vibes.
Nanny Diaries?
No, that was not a lead.
I would not have yeah. ever, in my wildest dreams, would I have suggested that.
That's a good point.
Oh my god, the craft store thing is gonna fuck me up.
A movie with a aesthetic, a certain aesthetic to it. Done by a team who is perhaps known for aesthetics. A director who is known for their aesthetics. Perhaps aesthetics over anything else.
Oh, wait, no. What? I mean, The Immortals wasn't cheap looking.
No, The Immortals okay. is not The Immortals.
I don't think I put that on.
I think I did.
Oh my god. And this is a director? Like a known director?
I would say a pretty known director, yes.
It's wild that I can't think of what it was, considering I apparently recommended we watch it.
A director known for their theatrical sensibility.
I'm looking through all
the
movies.
Is it a Kenny B?
Huh? Oh, no, it's not. It is a woman.
Oh, is this The Tempest?
Oh, is this The Tempest?
The Tempest?
Yeah.
That's crazy, because...
I was going to say I could never be your woman.
I mean, that also does have the aesthetics of $10,
yeah.
to be fair.
It's just like people wearing what they, you know...
Whatever they wore to the studio that
yeah.
day. Or in Michelle Pfeiffer's case, whatever Amy Heckerling wore to the
yeah,
studio
yeah.
that day. And then did a swapsies real quick with
yeah.
her.
I love that.
Can be Simon's review. Can be described as Lynchian if David Lynch were horny beyond belief.
Is it the Monday movie?
No, it's not. That is a very horny movie. That is perhaps also a very good answer to that riddle.
Yeah, it is.
I think it's, yeah. In another world, somebody did write that on the
this is,
Monday.
But this is another movie that you also picked, Lee, that is also
Ooh.
A weirdly horny movie.
From Lee.
One of Lee's horny picks.
A classic Lee
Yeah,
horny
a classic
pick.
Lee horny pick.
Classic.
Which we all know. We all know how many of those there
it's
have
It's Lynchian, apparently.
I mean...
Is it? No.
What?
It wouldn't be Earth Girls Are Easy.
It is Earth Girls Are Easy!
Okay, yeah.
Lynchian?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because it is goofy.
It is goofy. Yeah, it is goofy and strange. I don't know if I would go full out Lynchian. I do
I
think perhaps...
Like those, there's like the dream, the nightmare sequence.
Right.
She's like, oh, no.
Right, I'm being impregnated. Yeah, they're like, we're on a weird alien planet.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Do you remember that weird sex scene she has with
yeah, with
Jeff Goldblum?
Yeah,
where it's like... It's like weird, like flower rain. And
it's like a Proto the Fly in many respects. Okay, Branson Reese's review. If this made 5% more sense, it would be an undeniable masterpiece. 6% would be too much. 10%, unwatchable.
Oh, this is going to be impossible.
One more time. Yes.
If this made 5% more sense, it would be
oh,
an undeniable
masterpiece. Oh, I know what it is.
What?
It's Southland Tales.
It is Southland Tales.
I thought so, too. Goddamn.
Which is such a true assessment.
God, that is 1,000% correct. If it lined up 5% more,
yeah.
It would be great. Anything above that. No. Stop.
It's not making sense.
Yeah. Call me David Byrne, because I'm saying this has to stop making sense.
Oh, my God. I cheered up laughing at that. That was very funny.
Adam Bolt's review. Taken, if Liam Neeson fucking sucked at everything.
Oh.
This is also not The Commuter. Because that is also a very good guess for that. Because when I wrote that down, I thought to myself, someone's going to guess this is The Commuter.
He really does look like he just needs to sit down.
He's had a very long day being fired at work. He just needs to relax and
get home. Do you
remember
when he, like, basically turns into, like, mayor of the train and is like, I've never seen you before?
Yes.
It's the commuter.
I keep track of everyone on The Commuter.
Is it cellular?
It is cellular.
Oh, hooray.
Sindhu's review. This is literally just The Departed, but as a rom-com.
The Departed.
The Departed.
But
so
as
the Departed
a rom-com.
Is like a gang thing.
There is a gang thing, but there is another element to The Departed.
Oh my gosh.
In terms of moles.
Oh, okay. Is this, Flypaper?
No, this is not Flypaper. Flypaper, one of those other movies that did not have that many reviews to
play.
Shocking.
You mean moles as in spies?
Yes, not like the tiny burrowing mammal, yes.
Or the thing you get on your skin.
Yes, not a growth or a skin tag or the mammal.
It's The Departed, but it's a rom-com.
Yes.
Okay,
I mean... I'm going to say that I don't really think this is what it is.
What?
But on the outside chance that it is it The Beautician and the Beast?
No.
Oh my God,
no.
I wish.
That would actually be if Fran Drescher was like seeking to like, what was it? To like overthrow the government by like affecting the stability of the king.
Yeah.
No, it has more to do with how there are duplicitous people. Everyone's being a secretly duplicitous person in this rom-com.
Okay.
How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days?
How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
That makes more sense,
yes.
Yeah.
The Departed comparison is wild.
I think it's honestly, it's pretty spot on if you think about it. Just everyone, you know.
Lying to each other.
Right, they all have their own secret thing that they're getting involved in this, yeah.
To the point where you're like, why do you want to be with each other?
But, again, this is like the Down with Love thing where it's like, well, you shouldn't be together.
Right. This is a bad relationship.
You're both horrible.
You're both awful. Although on the other hand, they
should,
be together,
should be together.
So that, like,
but
yeah.
I shouldn't feel good about
right,
it.
Right, and you should be forcibly sterilized so that you cannot have children. Anna's review. Hey, does anyone know if a divorced middle-aged man made this movie? So think of a movie, and this will be going back, that has a big divorced middle-aged man energy.
I mean, it's not divorced middle-aged man. Is that we're saying, like, going back, like, trying to pretend to be a young guy again, all the things you missed out on?
There are elements of that, one
okay.
could say.
I guess my immediate thought is, like, when you're divorced, when it's a divorced woman, it's Nancy Myers, and it's
yes.
kitchens and...
right,
guys
yes.
Are really
yes.
Nice. So, but this is a divorced guy.
Yeah.
And
the divorce
buying a hot sports car.
Well, no, the divorced, it doesn't so much have to do with the divorce. The movie itself is not about a divorce.
I know,
it just has
but
the energy, yeah.
A divorced guy would be the kind of guy that buys
right.
a sports
just,
car and...
Yeah, and it also has the energy of, like, you know, the sort of looking back on your life and being like, oh...
Secret Life of Walter Mitty?
No.
Oh.
That would be interesting.
No, it's got an older vibe than that.
It's got an older vibe.
Yeah, both in terms of the perspective of the filmmaker and in terms of the movie release date.
Okay.
Divorced dad.
Divorced middle-aged man.
Divorced middle-aged man.
I mean,
man
there is dad energy.
Energy
to it, too.
Okay.
Big dad energy.
Yeah, this movie has big D-E.
B-T-E! I'm
looking, I'm scrolling, I'm scanning.
I think you're scrolling in the wrong direction, Lee.
I'm going up, I'm only in 45.
Oh, I'm around the same place.
I think you need to look back.
Look further back?
Look
what, I missed it?
Way back.
Way back.
I mean, I've just...
Oh,
at the
is
beginning.
This Hook?
This is Hook.
It was Hook?
Yes.
Okay, I was about to say Hook.
Yes.
Okay. I mean, yes, very much. I mean, that's all.
Divorced dad energy. Yeah,
I wish I could have been a better father.
Right, yeah, like all the things I've missed.
Maybe making different choices? No.
Yeah.
It's definitely magic.
Yeah.
And the final one, I don't know if you guys will get this one, but it was too good to not use. Taylor Williams review. Women love him, doctors hate him.
Women love him, doctors hate him.
Doctors hate him?
Yes.
So dumb.
It makes a lot of sense.
Is it Dracula?
It is Dracula. Dr. Van Helsing, of course.
So did you put up 25?
Yeah, there was 25. Did you get 25?
I marked down 25.
Okay, yeah, then there were 25.
How many did I get right? Hold on. I did it in a weird way, so it's hard to count.
That's God, that was the first. That was really fun. I liked that a lot.
There are some good Letterboxd reviews out there, guys.
We need to find another
resource.
I got 16.
16? That's good.
We've covered Letterboxd. We've covered YouTube. What's the next
comment? I don't know. At a certain point, you're going to start, like, you know, chasing down that which ought not be chased, I think. So, I'm not sure.
Reddit post. Reddit that's, downvoted comments.
Yeah, the cesspool.
Negative final Reddit comments.
Most downvoted
Reddit. That would be incredible.
Yeah. Oh, thank you guys for playing this. This
I
was
loved that.
This was a fun little thing for me to look up, so I'm glad we got to do it. And I'm glad you guys did well.
Yeah,
I was worried about something.
Thank you for making that, Brandon.
Yeah, no problem. It was just, like I said, it was enjoyable to sift through the movies we've done in Letterboxd to see what other people have thought about some of them. So it was a nice time for me.
I'm impressed that we only maybe got stumped on one or two.
Yeah, by all accounts, pretty good.
Yeah, between the two of us, we only got fully stumped on a couple.
Yeah, because some of those are esoteric.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of them were making references, that was going to be not easy for me because, like, I don't have a lot of, there's a lot going on in my brain and not a lot of it is American pop culture. So references to other things are hit or miss. So it's like, don't reference other directors. Don't do that. I'm not going to know.
Not music.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't really know what Gen X is all about. I forget. I would have associated Rock of Ages with boomers.
I think boomers is like very, it's like very young boomers. It's like the cusp of boomers and old Gen X. Is
yeah.
Because
like my mom likes all that stuff.
I think hair metal kind of had a long enough run that it could straddle the line.
Yeah. I mean, Rock of Ages is like what, mostly 80s music, right? Mm-hmm. Pretty much.
Almost exclusively 80s.
Yeah. Like I don't have dates in front of me to look at, but I would assume it's mostly 80s music. So anyways. So, we will be back, of course, in 2 weeks with our full-length episode on the portable door. We're going to figure out what that door is and why it's so portable and
where does it go?
Well, you'll find out, Chris. It goes a lot of places.
We know.
Yep, we do know. And,
fucking tell me.
Yeah. And why is that a good name for a movie or book? Why would people want to watch a movie called The Portable Door? Anyway, we'll get into that. So, facebook.com/PowerWatchPodcast is our Facebook page. Shrapback.com is the website. Obviously, podcasts can be found in places where podcasts are usually found. So, subscribe and all that shit. And we will see you all in 2 weeks.
Bye!